toe, bouncing with that drop. KCP in the middle, bounce, Larry.
Get out of that double team.
With the head fake. What a move by Hakeem Olajuwon.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Does anybody know how to post videos?
Welcome back in to the Drop Step Podcast. Thank you for listening on Shaq Fu Radio, the fine folks on Spotify. And we appreciate y'all's support. Want to say thanks, as the All-Star Game is not that far away, and we'll get into some of that conversation. Home team Brandon Leak here with the College Football Hall of Famer Joe Hamilton. We have Houston and B-Dog Brandon Harper. We're going to be here, and we'll get into some All-Star Game tweaks and maybe some things that could help this year and beyond. We'll get into the WNBA CBA, some things I didn't know weren't in there before. Good things for the women who put on a good hat for the game of basketball that they're getting now. And we'll get to our Atlanta Hawks first, who are now at the halfway point. Game 41 came in a win, 123-110, against the Suns. And we finally got to see, I think, the culmination of John Collins, Kevin Huerter, Trae Young playing very good games together against comparable competition in a winnable game and seeing what it looks like. And I and my partner, Joe Hamilton, who you can hear on the Home Team in Hamilton show here in Atlanta, we are confident that that is how Atlanta basketball should look. Are we going to see more of that the last 41 games?
We'll see. One thing that I was in, well, I have to go with you. We'll see. I can't go with a definitive yes or no, because there are some nights where it's like, wow. And there's some that, then there are other nights that are like, wow. And two different wows. So one thing that I was impressed with last night was the defense down the stretch. Damian Jones, it's a block party waiting to happen down there when he's in the paint. But the length, we've talked about it before, the length of Cam, DeAndre, having those guys out there on the perimeter, guarding guys. We know that they're young, but you don't have to be of any age to know how to play good defense, because it's nothing but effort.
Nothing but effort. Exactly what, like, I saw Cam last night, and I went to look at the box score, and I'm like, hold on, man, he only had 4 points and 2 rebounds, no assists. I'm like, hold on, but you're one of our guards. You should get some assist in there. And like, well, what was he doing? I looked at his plus and minus. He was still plus 18. It's like, oh, he was effective on the defensive end of the floor. So that's where his calling card was, at least for that game. As far as what you're talking about, our big three and showing consistency, you got to think about it. They've just now logged over 100 minutes for the season. And Coach talked about it last night. He said, now that we've gotten to this point, let's just see it be more consistent. We've got the guys. They're healthy. Collins is back from his 25 games. Let's get some more consistency and see what happens. To me, this team can go on a slight little mini run and end up messing up, you know, their possible draft spot, because they can end up not being the worst team in the league by when it's all said and done.
One win away from double digits, from the 10th win.
Ooh.
Well, you know, that's not lofty dreams.
That's
not tickling any fancy.
It ain't meant to tickle you. It was just meant to put out there.
No, I got you, B Hop. But what I'm trying to say is this, though. You say consistent, a little bit more consistent. What does that look like?
It looks like last
shooting
night.
Better. Well, because home team and I always talk about it, and my partner wants you to make shots.
I want to see some shot making.
He want to see some shot making, and we know how that can come and go. Last night at 49%, yeah, that's big time. You can clap at that. But I'm looking at some sure shot, surefire, tangible things, like you said, effort. I shouldn't have to wonder if I'm going to get good effort. I shouldn't have to wonder, like we did a stat about hustle points, when the Atlanta Hawks are doing or making second chance points, boxing out, getting rebounds, getting to the loose balls, deflections in the passing lane. I want to see that, and I should not be begging for that night in and night out. Young team, inexperienced team, unhealthy team, no matter what, I should see you dominating the hustle stats. Especially because that goes along with you being young, right? When you're young, even if you make a mistake, we all have heard the old adage that if you make a mistake, at least you make it going full speed.
Right.
They shouldn't be lacking energy and lacking the want to. And too many times I've seen inconsistencies in that area.
But that's why I think that the young thing comes into play, because you're still dealing with, you know, basically teenage boys who aren't used to all – most of their life has been they've been winners, or they've been at a level of winning to where the losses didn't matter. You're at a point now where that's all you're seeing. Like I said, we're just now reaching 10 wins. You're at a point where they're not used to that, so the frustration of it in a younger mind, a more immature mind, is going to show out a little bit more. If you recall, I've been saying it from the beginning of the season, Cam Reddish gets in his own head when taking his own shot, even in pregames when nobody's guarding him. I can't expect it to be any different his first season when he actually has competition up against him. So, like, I'm going to take the inconsistency a little bit, but I think they're going to be on the better trend now that you have the right players in place.
Also, what I've also noticed about Cam is he's had a couple of games where a couple of his good games have been without Trey on the floor. Right. I don't know what it is about Trey being on the floor that kind of keeps him from doing what he needs to do, or he starts playing really timid or looks like he doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing. But in Brooklyn, when Trey was out, Cam had, 20 points?
He was aggressive.
Yes.
And that's my problem. I see the same thing, too, is that it seems when he's out there with the other guys, the full squad, full complement of players available to Lloyd Pierce, he's not as aggressive. And I just want him to feel confident, be aggressive. Even if he doesn't shoot well, shoot the shots that are there for you.
Exactly.
Take the drives that are there for you, because it seems like, you know, to that point, he scored 20 points. I was more concerned or more pleased at the shots that he took. He took 5 3-pointers. Then we come back. Now, we got the win, so it doesn't matter what you do in a win,
right,
per se. But we come back and we play the Phoenix Suns, and he only takes 5 shots. And his only basket that he makes, he gets late in a fast break opportunity on a dunk. So I just want to see Cam take his shots. Trae Young will draw coverage. They're going to have people coming out 30 feet out to guard him. They're going to double team him. He's going to get the ball to his players. He's going to get them to Cam. I want to see Cam, when he gets those opportunities, drive with the ability to score and get to the free throw line, or pull the trigger on some threes that'll be wide open for him.
Can't really be shocked about it, because I want to say, you said this before, B-Dog. Cam, even back at Duke, when he is out there with the stars, he does take a back seat. Like, he took a back seat to Zion and RJ back in Duke. And so now that he's in Atlanta, it's now Trae Young and John Collins and, you know, Kevin Herter that he's taking a back seat to. That's just what he is. I think part of his mentality is, okay, I've got them, I can lean on them, I don't have to try and do so much. But when Trae is out, I think it does probably trigger in his mind, okay, I've got to do more. And probably Coach Pierce is telling him as well, like, yo, you know, our man ain't here, so it's going to be more on you. He takes that mantle, he tries to run with it. Like I said, I would love to see him do that when Trey's playing as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure Coach Pierce and the staff is saying that to Cam. I want that same Cam when everybody gets back. Our team is going to be better with you just being aggressive. They're not necessarily hogging or taking all the shots. Be aggressive in making plays, and you make it full speed. And the question I would have, and a little bit of a concern, if you want to say that, is that when that light switch goes off sometime, Houston, it's on. And so if you're going to show me the aggression, if you're going to show me that you're outside of your head now, where it might have been true that you're in your own head, when we see spurts that you're doing well, what happens? See, that's my thing. No, when that switch goes off, it's no going back to who you used to be. It's no going back to where I don't belong, or, you know, I don't fit.
What's the old saying? How many days does it take to create to develop a good habit? It's like, it takes like 21 days or something, or 30 days to create, you know, to break a bad habit and then also create a good habit.
What about a mentality, though?
But it's the same thing. You've got to create it. And if you're not consistently putting that, whatever fuel it was, whatever juice it is that you took for that day, if you're not doing that every day to consistently prepare and train your body for that, then you're going to slide back into your old ways.
This falls into it. I'm pretty sure it's probably a good transition, and we'll get to it in a few minutes. I wonder, and we talk about Coach Pierce going to Cam, talking about what he wants and what he expects out of him based off certain games that he's seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, how many times has Trey gone to Cam and said, look, sat him down, took him, walked with him, and say, look, bro, you've had some games where you've shown everybody, whether it be at home or on the road, that this is what I can be. Regardless of whether I'm out there or not, I want you to have that same mentality. I want every time you touch the ball, you take good shots. Every time you touch the ball, I want you to go.
And
because that makes our team better when you play the way we need you to play.
And that goes into a question about leadership, which we saw. I didn't read the whole article from The Athletic that showed up Friday that talked about one of the issues that is a part of this team right now is a lack of leadership. And, you know, it's hard to say that because leaders, I don't think you can make them. They kind of are born organically, or they're brought in, and they, their personality, you know, usually bleeds into the locker room and onto the floor. The problem is we have a lot of young guys that are all learning at the same time and getting the same opportunities to learn. So leadership is a question. And the example they gave in The Athletic was that Coach Lloyd Pierce is looking for some leadership, looking for somebody else other than Trae Young. And they allowed DeAndre Hunter to break the huddle for the final minutes of practice. And they said when he broke the huddle, he was kind of getting teased because he was so quiet and so soft with his voice. His teammates started teasing him. So as of right now, the Hawks don't have the alpha Hawk. They don't have the alpha dude in there right now. And maybe over time that will come, or maybe that guy is not here yet.
It, wasn't that supposed to be Trae, though? I thought that Trae was supposed to be like our leader. Like, he's supposed to be our savior and the guy who's supposed to lead us to the next step, to the promised land.
Yeah, but I look at it like this, Houston. What we think is supposed to happen and what actually happens based off a person's personality sometimes are two different things. There are some guys that come in and they'll say, this is my – now, he said this is my team before.
I didn't believe him.
But there are some people – okay. There are some people who say, this is my team, and I'm going to let you know it's my team. Every time we're on the floor, every time we talk to the media, pregame, postgame, I'm going to let you know, because you're going to hear my voice. You're going to get sick and tired of hearing – the media ought to get sick and tired of hearing you talk.
That's why, like I said, I didn't believe him. And to me, like, him saying this is my team and all that stuff, like, it's real cute. It sounds good. But, sorry, we don't believe you.
We need more people.
Somebody at the game yesterday told me, and I thought about it, and I didn't want to believe it because I was thinking about all other teams and thinking about all the other players who, you know, might be a little bit more than us. But when I thought about it, I said, you're right. We have the most emotionless, quiet, antisocial players, some of them in the league, when you think about it. And there's nothing wrong with being quiet because, you know, you let your gang speak for itself. But you don't, like you said, had DeAndre break the huddle, you're teasing him because he sounds like a mouse.
Soft-spoken.
Very soft-spoken.
And that's what's like, bro, it's okay. And I understand that people are who they are. And you can't always change who people are because that's just what it is. But, my goodness, can you have that many soft-spoken guys in one room?
Here's the question. When we look back in the annals of history, isn't your best player usually the leader? And if you start looking at the Golden State Warriors, I would say that was Steph Curry's team. He was the best player. You go back to the Spurs, they had a soft-spoken superstar, in my opinion, but it was still Tim Duncan's team. Go back to the Lakers, Kobe and Shaq. Yeah, that was, you pick whoever you want to, Kobe or Shaq.
They had multiple leaders. It was their teams.
The Mavericks, that was Dirk's team. The Heat, that was Dwayne Wade's team. Should it not be the case? And if you go back to the Bulls, Michael Jordan's team, early Lakers, that was Magic Johnson's team, early Celtics, Larry Bird's team. History has given us data that the best player is the leader and the locker room guy. Is that not what Trae needs to be? And is he, what do we need for him, from him on the floor in wins and losses and in between?
Now, the one thing that I guess you, one player you could say that we don't ever hear from and is the absolute, and we have no doubt in our minds that he's the leader of that team, that's Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi is the leader. Paul George don't say much either, but he speaks a little bit more than Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard don't have – he barely says a word. He don't even want to be in front of the camera.
But that's his team. You're right. See, that's defining how you lead at that point, because he doesn't have to, you know, call out, you know, any press conference to let everybody know what he just told his guys. But you best believe, even at Toronto, you best believe even now in L.A., he's talking to those guys about the route. I read a little clip earlier that said he's saying to the guys, be patient. It's a process. Mm-hmm. Don't rush it. Don't get frustrated within ourselves. So he's doing that. And it's a fine line, guys, between you want your best player to be the leader, but he doesn't have to. I mean, you can go down those championship lists, and I think it works out that way, and normally it falls in the hands of your best player. But I wouldn't ever call Allen Iverson the leader of the Philadelphia Sixers, 76ers. He was the best player. But the leader of that team was Aaron McKee. You know, he was the guy, the glue guy, you know, as far as how that goes. Even last year, when you look at Chris Paul and James Harden, clearly, in my opinion, is the best player, was the best player. But Chris Paul was the leader.
But they didn't win.
And they didn't win.
And neither did Allen Iverson.
Yeah,
he didn't win.
It didn't win. You're such a great point. So now should we push that on Trey? And if we do push that on Trey, it would be another thing to where he is almost one of those mouse leaders.
But that's
almost one of those leaders to where, like you say in Houston, some people might be able to read in between the lines and say, hey, man, you ain't that tough, man. You a little soft. You trying to lead on the outside the way it looks like right. You're a leader. But ultimately, guys, to be a leader, he got to get in the foxhole. Mm. You're going to have to get in foxhole because that's why the guy on the roster now and the only reason that he's on the roster now is for his leadership is of no effect.
Oh my God.
See, Vince Carter is of no effect now because he's not necessarily in the foxhole. He can't help us win. So, yeah, he's got good leadership qualities, but
if your leader on
I'm
the NBA team
now.
Is a 40-plus-year-old man who's getting like 12 minutes a game and only scoring 3 to 5 points,
yeah.
That's,
how much,
that's not
– Yeah, I know how to handle the hotel situation now. I know how to handle travel. I know
you could be a good agent, an A&R.
He told us to be in bed by 9, so we're all in bed by 9.
But now we're talking about going forward, so you're right. And somebody – he's going to have to be an extension of Coach Lloyd Pierce.
So, but what about John Collins? Can he be that leader for this
team? That's a guy who is vocal enough that I think. But see, I told you yesterday.
He's a clown show, though.
Hold on. I told you. This is what I told Houston yesterday. I said, I know guys make mistakes and everybody is human. But it's tough, I think, for John now to be the leader because I can't have my leader getting suspended for 25
games. What if he
balls
out, though?
Well, yeah, well, come on. You know where I'm going to go with that now, B-Dog. 25 games, being suspended.
For that.
Yeah, I understand, but goodness,
for what it was he suspended for? It wasn't like he was suspended for something in play. Oh, you got into a fight or something.
It was a personal issue.
It was a personal issue that's actually considered cheating. I can't necessarily have my leader be a – quote unquote cheater.
Can he neutralize that if he balls out?
That chapter's got to close at some point.
Yeah, if he balls out, he made a mistake, he paid for it.
Yes.
If he ends up a double-double guy, he's 20-10, he's already done that. The other 70% of the season he did play does not negate what happened the first part of the season.
I would agree.
Okay. And not necessarily either. I mean, maybe
still,
next year.
Even beyond that 25-game suspension, would you look at, if that never happened and he was still playing this whole time, are we looking at John Collins as actually being the leader of this, being a leader
a
of this
point.
Hawks team.
I don't know that. I don't know.
You said the other day, you said he got a little bit too much Dwight Howard in his
That's
DNA.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you for helping me clarify. When I said clown show, I'm not attacking him. I'm not talking about his game.
Right.
Just the goofiness in it. The playfulness type thing in it that –
Your leader at some
point. There's a time and place for that, man.
You want your big man to throw some elbows.
There you go, home team.
You want him to be not help somebody up, but he knocks down on the floor every now and then.
Borderline thug.
Yeah, so, just
a little
not mean or dirty, a little ashy. Doesn't put any lotion on the elbows when he throws.
I'll put it like this. I want my leader to at least be able to stand 10 toes against anybody out there.
So,
and if I feel like you're going to sit there and back up on your heels, then I can't follow you.
So, Steve, if you got Steve, would Steven Adams be your leader if you were to somehow get him in a trade or somehow, some way?
Yeah, see, I don't know if he's a leader. He's not the best player on his team. He's not. He can bring something to the Hawks that they don't have in a
toughness. Look for the best player necessarily, home team.
But
I feel
I'm
where
you
going. I know where history is
going
to carry
I'm
us.
Going back to where I'm saying these title winners,
but because
ring bringers.
But toughness doesn't make toughness does not make a leader. You know, that doesn't make you the leader of the team. Like, he can come in here and be that enforcer for us,
right.
But actually being it's still somebody else who's going to say, "Hey, go enforce."
But this is Trey's team.
It's Trey's team. So then I guess it comes down to it has to be Trey as the leader. But if his voice is the way that it is,
he can develop that.
Well, no, I'm not talking about the actual tone of his voice, but I'm sorry. Just I don't believe, when I see it, I don't necessarily believe it. Like as if it was LeBron or if it's Kobe jumping on top of the scorers table, pumping his chest. Like, I believe that guy. If Trey was to do that, I'm kind of looking at it like, really?
We got to kind of see a little bit behind the record, too. I mean, it's hard when you're struggling like this with wins and losses.
We only have 9 wins.
And you're trying to lead in an up-and-coming, but we can't dismiss either that can it be a group thing?
Right.
Can you have more than one? Can it be a Draymond Green, Steph Curry situation?
Detroit Pistons when they won their last one. Not the bad boy Pistons.
2004.
Yeah, Rip Hamilton and
Chauncey Billups.
And the
good
Wallace
call.
Boys.
Good,
like,
good
like
call.
That type of team where it wasn't necessarily, I would say Chauncey was more like
the
leader on
that
team.
Team.
but still it was more of a group effort.
Yeah, I like it was that. Still a lot I love more of that. And you had different roles for guys having to be having to lead in different areas.
But that takes a lot of guys and a lot of consistency from each guys, and we don't have that across the board.
And it goes back to the excuse of, or maybe it's not an excuse, of being young.
I don't buy that, man. I'm looking at John Moran out here balling. When he's out there, he looks like I'm ready. He looks like, yo, I'm going to take this over.
But you're talking about a natural-born leader.
But I also think you're talking about John Morant, when I look at – and we talked about this yesterday. John Morant and like I said, we love Trey. Trey is our guy. Trey T.L., he's ours. But even when I looked at John Morant in college, John was explosive then. Just like he's – so that his explosive nature, going to the basket, doing everything, crossing it, he has a little bit of Trey in him and a little more. Because, obviously, Trey didn't have the build and the size to be that aggressive.
But you don't need that. Steph Curry ain't got that.
Steph ain't even as aggressive as Ja.
But that's what I'm saying.
He doesn't have that type of game like Ja has.
But you still believe Steph as the leader of that team. I guess I kind of did because I want to put Draymond above Steph as a leader for emotional-wise, but – you really couldn't question Steph being the leader of that team.
Right.
For Trey, to me, it's like, no, you're my superstar, but are you the leader who's going to galvanize the rest of these guys on that floor? I don't know if I see that yet. And I'm holding out hope. I don't want to down the man, but
it's still early. It's still early, and the wins haven't been there yet. You know, what kind of league should be looking for when you have 9 wins and you had, you know, a season last year where it was fun, but you missed the playoffs. So next year, I think, is a really important year for everybody, for the franchise, for Trey, for leadership, and for whoever's coming in here as an acquisition to help out.
Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports X. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.
You look at the WNBA. There were things I learned over the last couple of days that I had no idea about. And congratulations to the ladies who got them a better side of the deal in the new CBA that they agreed to with the WNBA. They're going to share 50% of the revenue. The max salaries go up. And some of the accommodations and the things centered around motherhood that I didn't know existed or were in a different place last time are better. Players are going to get their full salary now when they're on maternity leave. I would just think that would be a given. How can that, in a league of for and by women, not be there? But they saw an error in their ways and they took care of that. But I think sharing of the revenue, better salaries, and taking care of mothers, pretty good CBA when you look at the broad strokes.
First off, I want to say congratulations to the ladies of the WNBA. It's a long, hard-fought battle. This is long overdue. However, I'm not impressed. I'm going to tell you why I'm not impressed. Giving me something that I feel as though I should have deserved from the beginning is not improvement. You've just withheld something that I've always deserved from the beginning. The pay they've always deserved. The full pay and benefits during maternity leave. It's almost like you're punishing me for being a mother.
Right.
The better travel accommodation. Leg room. I'm sorry. These are professional athletes. Most of them are 6. A lot of them are 6'3", 6'4". They want the leg room. My goodness. You're telling me I couldn't get good leg? These are okay. This is a step in the right direction from what they've come from. But don't sit up here. I'm not going
to
sit up here
and
throw
a
parade because they deserve a whole lot more than what you're just trying to sprinkle on them right now. Mm-hmm. And I want to see how a lot of this is going to go because we got it all laid out on paper and it's great. Now let's see the action of it. Let's see them walk it out. Let's see how these things plan out to see if what's actually being presented is actually going to come to pass.
Now, do y'all think that a lot of this, all right, revenue is a big thing. Like, if you're not really pulling in the revenue, how can you necessarily give out more benefits to the product? If nobody, think about it, the WNBA, they're not even filling up college arenas, you know?
But it's more about the percentage. The NBA players are getting about 50. On the last deal, they were getting, the ladies were getting about 20.
Oh.
So splitting 50-50, no matter what the revenue is,
right,
translates to more money into the pockets of the ladies. So that's where they jump from 20 to 50 is huge, and everybody, you know, from the starters to the last person on the bench, everybody gets a piece of that.
Okay, so I respect them opening their eyes to that key point of it. Like, okay, yeah, we're going to make the deal to where it's a little bit more of an even split. But like I said, I mean, this should have happened 20 years. It should have been closer to this 20 years ago. And now we're going to have to wait another 8 years for another renegotiation to try and get even more for these ladies that deserve more. And at the end of the day, what you need to do, what this needs to do is what? Keep these girls from going across seas to play where they actually want to get money.
That's another thing that was added. They've also been reported that they're adding other off-season jobs to try to keep the ladies from going overseas to play.
Yes.
Within management?
Possibly. But and my thing is that extra money?
Right. That's exactly right. And I love where you're going with the B-Dog as far as, man, you're going to all of a sudden give me something that I deserved and should have been mine already and act like you are doing something great. No, you made change, and that's good. But, guys, I want to just go back to one young lady in particular, and that's Maya Moore. And I think she sacrificed herself. She sacrificed her talents by saying, in my opinion, just reading through the tea leaves, enough is enough.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead on home. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need the WNBA because it's not my life now. I am a champion. And I, because of how y'all treat, not knowing if she wanted to start a family or not, mm-hmm. not knowing if they, you know, the resources wasn't available or she didn't see it changing, but I've had enough, so to speak. I can do without. And when the WNBA looks at that, looks at a name like Maya Moore and what could be coming down or in the pipeline of the ladies saying, I'm not playing, I'm taking this year off. Look at our own Angel McCarthy. Even though she's not getting picked up back by the Atlanta Dreams, she's taking her talents overseas now.
Right.
She's not messing with the WNBA. So now you're getting some of these, and you let it trickle down to some of your very, very good players that they don't want to be a part of some of the rules you got in place. That'll force your hand. So the more they can step up and say, we're not having it, we're not just settling,
right.
I think that it'll bode well to even speeding up another 7 years for another change to happen.
They didn't even have their own individual hotel rooms. Right. They were two to a room on the road. You know,
professional.
This is a pro league.
This ain't band camp.
I got kids and I got people at home.
And this is like the perfect time for like a lot of these businesses, like I said, hotels and stuff. Get in step with the league so that way you can help these girls out to make it grow even more. Like it should be nothing for a Holiday Inn or somebody to come up with a contract that says, yeah, when you come to our cities, your girls for that night can get these rooms. You know, it should be nothing to have that for some promotions, ads, and stuff like that. There needs to be something more done, but it's the perfect time. And, you know, you've had the Me Too movement going on and Black Girl Magic going on, and Black Girls Rock. Everything's been going on to make women more empowered. Like, this is the time for y'all as companies to step in and say, all right, we're going to get behind this and make this push forward. And
salaries have gone up. The average salary now in six figures, $130,000 is the average of a salary in the WNBA. So that's a good thing that, you know, you can at least – get to the NBA and have a great shot at making six figures and then work your way around that. Now, maximum salary is going up to more than $200,000 or up to $300,000. You're going to, you know, see the stars reap the benefits of, you know, their wear. So those are good things, good numbers, good incentives. Now, growing the league and making sure attendance is reflective of the product on the floor. We'll see if that grows over
What's
the next
the league
few
minimum
years.
Of the NBA?
Is it $200,000? Well, no, because you can sign some $50,000 contracts depending on your situation.
With that, home team, let's not forget when we're talking about the WNBA and all those things, let's not forget their big brother. Their big brother is going to have to help out a little bit.
Oh, man.
Now, when you say, you know, David Stern started it and he really enjoyed it and loved it, that was his baby, so to speak. Now, shifting to Adam Silver and whoever's in charge there, they cannot forget about the little sister and whatever they can do. It's not their responsibility. I'm not saying it's their responsibility, but when you're talking about a professional league and if they can help in promotions and things like that, they should be able to, you know, step in when they can and just assist some of those ladies somehow.
Well, I'm looking at this for whatever it's worth. You've probably already seen it. Zion is expected to make his debut January 22nd. Zion Williamson will make his NBA debut January 22nd for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Wonder how the ratings will be for that one.
Oh, you know it's going to be through the roof. Oh,
I love it, but I just want to ask one question, man. What's going to happen in 7 days? Because they play, I think, tomorrow. They play here soon. But what kind of treatment and what kind of attention he's going to get to his knee?
That's against the Spurs.
That's going to help him a little bit more in 7 days.
Nothing.
I'm glad he's coming back to 22nd. I think I'm being a little bit more selfish. I want him back now.
I said this now, and I said it then, and I'm going to say it now. I mean, congratulations that he's worked his way back from his injury, and he's healthy enough to step on an NBA floor. I still thought he should have sat out the year to make sure, like I said, because you're working with something totally different. This is unlike anything we've seen before, and you have to take necessary precautions. You may make some folk upset, but you know what, though? I'd rather make a few people upset. But if you're going to be upset and you still done bought season tickets, I'm going to let you be upset for a second because I still got the guy that you're still wanting to go see and ain't made his debut yet.
I've been seeing all these highlights of him in, you know, pregame and, you know, him in practice and stuff. He's dunking, doing all that stuff. And each time that he goes up, I'm like, okay, he's not getting this high. And then as soon as he comes down, I was like, ugh, that looked like that hurt coming down. That's a lot of weight coming down. Every time he comes down, I'm sitting like, that's still a lot of weight coming down them knees. I don't know how long it's going
to
last.
Well, to B-Dog's point, you don't hesitate to pull him out if you see any of that. Now, you put him in, I wouldn't have mind if they had sat him the whole year, but you really, anytime he grimaced, anytime he says something that's bothering him, you have a lot of just worry and skepticism of him being injured, and you're going to take care of that. Now, I ask you guys this question. Is Ja Morant too far ahead? If Zion Williamson comes in and he's the big dog that we expect, give you a double-double.
Are you trying to get – man, there's no way I'm going to give rookie to the year to a man who hadn't played even half of the season.
Rookie of the year race is over.
I don't care.
He's about to play half, though.
He's only playing half. Ja Morant been here the whole season so far. And he ain't going nowhere. There's no way.
That's why they didn't give it to Joel Embiid, right?
What?
When Brogdon got it.
Yeah, like you're not playing. There's no way.
The rookie of the year race.
If I'm not seeing it. I can't see it. And y'all could come back and make the playoffs and do all that. Nah, bro.
Okay.
Like you weren't there. I'm sorry that you were injured, but nah, you could just let that go.
You got a lot more years to play in this league to worry about your rookie year.
I'm just talking about it.
You hope he got a lot more years. This might have been his best chance at having the accolades.
On the optimistic side, like I said.
I don't see him being injury prone like that.
If you take the precautionary measures that you need to as an organization, as a medical staff, then he can have a long, prosperous.
The boy walks heavy. Like, it feel like he got to drag his feet. He walk heavy.
Houston. All right, so check this is what we're doing. I understand what you're saying and what you're seeing, but this is all of a sudden. My point is Zion Williamson just didn't get his size. He was injury-free all through high school. Injury-free except that torn shoe in college. That had nothing.
He got a knee problem from the torn shoe, and this is what I'm saying. Your trunk is too heavy, bruh. And I've been saying this since I've ever seen him. Like, that's
not
going
to
work.
I don't know if there's anything that can be done about that.
There's nothing that can be done, but I don't think that it's going to work for 10 to 15 years.
I got to believe they know something. That staff, you know, once they decided to sit him down for as long as they have, they know something. And they are putting him out there to make sure that he can help win ball games, get some coaching, and improve as a pro. He's their number one pick, face of the franchise, hopefully. So they're not putting him out there just to see. They have to have a lot of confidence that the medical and training staff have looked him over, they've talked to him and had some honest conversations with him, and him stepping out on the floor and them picking a game means he might be 100% fine plus two more games before we even put him out there.
Hey, January 22nd, we will see. So we right now, it's all speculation of what we think we're going to see, what we think is going to happen. But January 22nd, his first game back, obviously his minutes will definitely be monitored.
Right.
I don't know how many minutes he's going to play.
And they picked a great opponent for it being the Spurs. Like, I mean, to me, it would probably be a pretty winnable game without him. So having him back in the lineup.
And they played well. The Pelicans have played well.
Mm-hmm.
They've been
stepping it up.
It looks like the Lonzo that the Lakers were hoping that he would look like when he was
Ingram,
in the Lakers purple
Ingram,
to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm not surprised by Brandon Ingram. How he's playing now, I saw that when he was in L.A. He's just taking his game to another level. I saw that then.
Yeah.
And we just had to give him up to get what we got. And right. I'd do it all over again, but that's what he's going to turn into.
I look at that now and I'm like, man, they should have given up Kuzma.
Kuzma balling.
I think you keep Ingram as far as for position-wise and you let Kuzma go. Because, like, Kuzma's going to basically be a backup to somewhere Ingram could have been in the starting lineup for you. So.
But anywhere other – well, there are a lot of places where Kuzma could start, though. Because he has that kind of talent where he could start.
That's what I'm saying. At another team, but not for the Lakers. I'm saying, like, if when you made that deal, instead of it being Ingram, it was Kuzma that left. I think that that put the Lakers in a better situation for right now than if than doing it the way they did.
Pelicans wasn't going to take that. But you're right. I agree with you.
I'm sorry. Kuzma is a 12 and what, 7 cat? Like, he's a league average type of player. Like, you didn't really do much by keeping him. You're not you know, breaking the farm by keeping that guy over Ben Ingram. Ben Ingram is the type of guy that's going to get you some 20, 30 plus nights way more consistently than what Kuzma will be able to do.
And another thing is, you know, weight concerns. Everybody was talking about the size and the weight of Zion Williamson. I think he officially came in at 284 pounds, and he had torn meniscus.
Mm-hmm.
So how will he respond after back-to-backs, after I'm sure he'll be on some kind of minutes restriction, you know, as he gets more and more of his workload added. How will his body react to that? And will that be something we continue to monitor and have a conversation about fairly or unfairly because of his body type?
If he doesn't get his weight down to at least below 250,
fat.
I know, and he's not fat, but that means if you can get your weight down a little bit more, another 20 pounds from where you are, you're still going to have all that strength. But now you become more mobile, you become more agile, it's less weight on them trunks.
But the thing is, it'd be different if he was this size but wasn't as athletic. It's not necessarily the size. It's the athleticism with the size.
But the only thing you can correct about that is the size.
But I don't think – but because he's not fat and because it's mostly muscle, I don't.
But because it's an issue and my mind, and I think about the fact of future injuries, I want to correct something. I'm not just going to say, oh, no, he's good because he's been doing it at this weight and everything. No, I'm going to say here's a problem. How can we make you better? It might not be the biggest problem in the world, but still, if we do this, we're going to make you better. You're going to become more agile alone just from losing the weight. It's not as much pressure on them joints if you lose the weight. Why would you not do that? You're still going to have your strength, so you could still get down there and Debo with the big boys, but you just don't have as much weight on your joints.
And we got to see if he actually can get down there and Debo with the big boys. We ain't seen that yet.
No, I believe he can because he doesn't look like anybody's really stopping him when he gets down there anyways. Just take some of the weight off so that way it's easier for you to maneuver.
We're going to see. Everybody's going to be watching. Hopefully the young man's 100% healthy. It's good for him, good for the Pelicans, good for the NBA, and good for the fans. Lastly, All-Star Game approaching. Any upgrades or changes? It's going to be pretty much the same deal. I'm for one, you know, can't do it right now because it's already scheduled. Next year, take the slam dunk competition out.
Just totally erase it from
us. We're not doing it.
Unless.
Unless you're forever? You're just taking a break or what are you trying to do?
I'm going to take a break.
Okay.
Might even take 2 years. And then what do you mean? You didn't do it last year. We're not doing it again. Yes, we're not doing it again 2 years in a row. Because you know what? That third year, oh, it's coming back. Mm-hmm. We would have a little bit of excitement. There will be at least something different about what we're seeing. It's almost like we get to All-Star Weekend and we know it has to come. We're not excited about it, and we get let down. What I would do, remove it for at least a year, build up some excitement, make some changes, and then bring it back for a year. Other than that, I think the skills competition, three-point competition, you really can't do anything to hurt those things, and I think those should be somewhat bumped up for the speed and the attention span of us on All-Star Week.
Unless you're going to add, we see all the time on Instagram and social media these athletes who do these miraculous dunks. Unless you're going to start adding some of those guys to go against, you're going to somehow integrate them into the slam dunk contest to kind of add something more. Because NBA guys, they're only going to do so much. You get some of these other guys in here who are a little bit more creative, who have the time to be a little bit more creative, who no one really knows, that's a great way for people, for those guys to get their name out there and to create a lot more oohs and ahs for that crowd because they've never seen some of the stuff that a lot of these guys have done before. And that's what you want to see, something new. I don't care if it doesn't come from an NBA guy. I just want to see somebody do something new and great that I'm always going
to
remember.
But it's an NBA product, so it has to come from NBA guys.
It's an NBA. Oh, I'm not saying you take those out of it, but what I'm saying
But since you can't take the NBA guys out of there, how many of the stars of the NBA going to a dunk competition are going to want to go up against Joe Blow nobody and then lose or get trashed because
they don't want that?
They're not going to be humble enough. They got way too big of egos to sit there and let somebody else that they know is going to be better. Somebody who 24/7 can actually work on these dunks.
And that's the problem.
I can't work on that. So if you're going to take it out, my question to you, home team, is what are we going to try and really replace it with?
Well, what I would replace it with, one-on-one? I want to see a one-on-one tournament. And but that's another thing. It's another ego thing.
Right.
But I know guys, there are guys in the league who wouldn't mind. Somebody like Lou Will wouldn't mind going one-on-one with somebody.
Now, when you say something about somebody in the league, you let them qualify for that tournament, or you just picking from the pool of guys that made the All-Star? Because, again, you're dealing with the legs. Again, you're dealing with, is it a real vacation? Can I just rest my minutes? Because some of these veterans are going to go into the All-Star game and say, hey, yo, coach, hey, I only got eight for you. I only got 8 minutes.
All I'm saying is this. You got the guys who want to be in the dunk contest or who they send the invitation
yes,
to.
Sir.
Now, social media runs everything. Mm. A lot of ideas that a lot of these corporations are using come from Instagram and come from Twitter. So we see everything. Mm. You go pick one of these guys. Offer them, extend to them an invitation to be a part of the NBA All-Star Slam Dunk Competition to possibly integrate them somehow into it. Like you said, I know there's an ego thing.
But you talking about somebody off the street to do it? One on one?
Yeah, that's necessarily somebody off the street.
He's talking about the guys who are winning those competitions.
It is. It's going to be off the street. Okay. Now, I know you're not talking about out of here at Truist Park, find somebody there.
No, you're talking
about a qualified guy.
Yeah, I'm talking about
Braves.
But that's still off the that's still off the street.
Okay, that's fine. But guess what?
At least go G League.
But it may be off the street, but that off the street guy has 500 or 750,000 followers.
But that guy is also a professional dunker. Like, that's his job. I can't put him up against somebody who his actual job is to practice the game.
But my thing is, if we're going to have a slam dunk contest, and I understand that these are professional athletes and they got to work on other aspects of their game, but if we're worried about seeing the same old stuff every year, then what else do we do to spice it up? That's an idea to spice it up, because what it'll do, it'll make some of these guys who think they're such great dunkers, it'll make them – hey, man, I got to kind of think about this. I got to kind of – let me see if I can actually – it forces you to kind of come up with something different. You got to kind of push the envelope to get people thinking different. And if that's the way you have to do it, then so be it. It's no hurt in trying it. If it doesn't work, cool.
I'm kind of cool, guys.
I want to try home teams thing. I think we should just let it go for about like 2 or 3 years and then come back, because then it'll have people really itching for it.
We're not as excited. We haven't seen anything. It kind of gets boring. Yeah. And we keep waiting for this spectacular thing to happen, and then the dunk contest just ends, and that's the end of All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, I get you, but I'm again with your point. Houston, you asked the question back at home team, what do you replace it with? Because you just can't let 8 o'clock at All-Star Weekend on Saturday
go unfilled.
Okay, so we could probably do like a game of horse, maybe a one-on-one. Those are two options that people would like. A game of horse would be something funny for the fans.
Or play NBA, just to shorten it up. You don't have to have a long word. Play NBA.
Yeah, play NBA. There you go. So it's not a long word.
Play it.
Yeah, something like that. Do some stuff like that. Do the stuff that made kids really love the game back when they were little. You know, what was the game? Where you at the free throw line and you shooting the person behind you, got to try and knock out.
So but they do play. Well, no, they don't play a form of that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If they play like a form of that, something like that, stuff that brings it back to that kid feeling again, then maybe you do it. Now, one other thing is a slam dunk competition should not be the last event before All-Star game.
I'd be for that. Maybe change the order.
Change the order.
At this
point, it should probably be the first event to bring you into the weekend, and then you go into the skills challenge and then three-point competition.
Well, hasn't the league changed? You know, when it started, the dunk was something spectacular. It was cool to see people jump from the free throw line, and it was spectacular to watch these guys run up and down the court in All-Star weekend festivities. Now, the league has changed. We've gone from a dunking league to a shooting league.
Right.
We are impressed by Trae Young and Dame Lillard and James Harden shooting 40-foot three-pointers. If that's where we are, why not just make some adjustment to the schedule?
We are thrilled by that. And like I said, even with the game of horse, Trae Young would be perfect, because every time
he gonna shoot from three quarters,
he takes a shot from the bench.
Yeah.
Him, Steph Curry, and a couple of other guys, people will watch it. But I say that even though we're thrilled by the three, I still think we're enamored by the dunk if it's something that's creative.
But you can't create nothing if it's like – the physicalness of the body can only do so much.
Right, but that's why. I get it. But I get that. That's
we got dudes blowing birthday cupcakes off of the rim. Like, come on.
That's why I would want to bring in some other. Look, I don't care.
So far, you can go right now, man.
The most creative thing we've seen in the last 5 to 10 years is Eric Gordon jumping over the Magic's mascot while he was on the little thing. Most creative thing I've seen. You're not going to see something that creative again, or somebody's going to try and mimic. Well, you already lost the sauce because it's been done.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then get rid of it then. Because my thing is, I don't want to continue to see the same old thing every year.
Man, let's play NBA. Let's play horse. Let's play horse.
You add the dynamic. You get social media more involved, and you go get some of these dudes who have a million followers for their dunks, and you integrate them into the dunk contest. And I guarantee you the ratings for that dunk contest will be higher than the ones the previous year.
Bounces off the logo, hits Quavo off top of his head, bounces over here and goes to the rim. H. There you go.
Yeah, you're talking about 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, this thing has to get done, too. This thing kind of carries on.
All I'm saying, forget your little ego.
So that'll do it for this episode of the Drop Step Podcast. We'll be back for episode 45 next. Want to say thanks again to the fine folks at Spotify and Shaq Fu Radio. Shout out to Big Shaq. Diesel, we appreciate you. And we'll be around the corner with maybe some Zion news and some Zion entertainment next we meet.
Shout out to my boy Book. Hey, man, come back. You know, feeling better. We got you. Prayers up for you, man.
Shout out to Book the Hook for the College Football Hall of Famer, Joe Hamm, Houston, and B-Dog. I'm home team. We'll see you next time on the Drop Step Pod.
We out.
Already. Hey, y'all. We got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on the YouTube channels for the Drop Step Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports X. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.